Steve Winwood's career spans six decades. He fronted the Spencer Davis Group at age 15. He formed Blind Faith with Eric Clapton in 1969. He was a founding member of the group Traffic, and he had a string of top 40 hits in the 80s. And Rolling Stone magazine ranked him number 33 in its 100 Greatest Singers of All Time list. Come down off your throne and leave your body alone. Somebody must change. Steve Winwood will play at the Fox Theater in Tucson this Sunday night as part of its second annual Chasing Rainbows Gala. Mark McLemore reached Winwood by telephone recently to talk about his storied career and what fans can expect at this weekend's show.
Tell us, what kind of a show are you going to be bringing with you?
I'm playing with a five-piece band, a band that I've been working with on and off for the last 8 or 10 years. We'll be covering, hopefully, a wide spectrum of music, going right through from the earliest bands I was in to the music I'm doing now.
So remind our listeners how you began your musical career. How old were you when you first found yourself on stage with a band?
Well, I came from a musical family, and my father played 30s and 40s dance music, and then it was through him and through my brother, then had a jazz band, and I was 5 years younger than he was, but I always nagged them because I wanted to play in the band, and obviously they were all about 16 or 17, and they didn't want an 11 or 12-year-old cramping their style. But, you know, I sort of persuaded them and they let me play with them.
And then you found yourself, though, in with the Spencer Davis Group at a young age. When do you remember looking around and thinking, hey, I think I'm a rock star?
Oddly enough, it wasn't immediate, because in those early days, you know, being a musician, it was based on a lot of hard work, playing live and many days spent in the back of a van traveling and doing one night stands. It didn't perhaps have the glamour that it sometimes does today. Also, I was very much a musician and came to rock and roll really through jazz. So I came in from a slightly unusual direction as well. So it took a while before I realized that perhaps I was a rock star. But it wasn't the bullet that laid him to rest. It was the nose stop of high heel
boys. You explained that growing up in a musical family did a lot to influence you and to get you going, but where do you think that your soul comes from?
When I was listening to music, I was very interested in listening to music when I was 8, 9, or 10 years old. Also because my brother, who was 5 years older than me, was also very interested in music. And one thing we used to do was we would listen to what was called the BFPO, which was the American Forces Network in Germany. Also, at the same time, there were incredible music that was coming over to the UK from America that we weren't hearing on the radio, but music collectors and record stores and collectors were finding this obscure music, a lot of R&B and blues. And then on top of all that, there was rock and roll, which was just breaking. So we were also hearing early Elvis Presley, Little Richard, and Fats Domino, Jay Lee Lewis, and Buddy Holly. I then got to hear Ray Charles, who I began to model myself on at a very early age, and he's a great hero of mine.
Has your relationship to some of your hits changed over the years as you've maybe you retire them for a little while and bring them back? Do they become old friends, or are some of them kind of become a bit of a burden at this point?
Well, no, not really a burden. Obviously, there are certain songs that audiences like to hear. I've thought of the idea of, on certain shows, just playing music from a certain era. But then I think that has its own shortcomings because, you know, a lot of people come to my show and they want to hear Dear Mr. Fantasy, give us some love. And so it would be quite hard, I think, for me to do just certain shows only playing one era. So I do cover the whole length of my career when I play live. But I do try and rearrange some of the songs so that they stay fresh for the musicians playing them, and that they keep us entertained when we're playing them as well. All of the stuff is good fun to play. We don't play anything that's not fun.
Do you have a favorite instrument with a story behind it?
Well, I did, yes. I think the organ that I played Give Me Some Lovin' on, which was Hammond organ. And then for some reason, later on I got another organ, and that organ disappeared, and I was never quite sure where it went. And then I think it was Ronnie Wood from the Rolling Stones said that he had the organ. I don't know how he got it, but anyway, he had it. And I was very excited. Went and actually saw it, and it wasn't the organ at all. It was another one. It wasn't the organ that I played. It was similar, but it was not the one. So since then, because it's a different model, it wasn't actually a B3, which is what I now play, is the B3. The Hammond organ I was playing in those days was an M100, I think it was called. And so they're much harder to find. I have to confess I do own quite a few Hammond organs. And so I decided I'd go and buy one of these ones, which was the same as the one that I played Give Me Some Lovin' on, although not the exact one.
Well, Steve, I thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve Winwood. Take care.
All the best. Bye-bye.
That's Steve Winwood talking to Mark McLemore from his home in England. Winwood plays a show this Sunday night at the Fox Theater Tucson. You're listening to Arizona Spotlight from Arizona Public Media. I'm Mark Dugan.